The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
I'll have you know, the soccer match started 11:45 yesterday, so I prepared myself. I put four little slabs of steak in a pan with a sliced onion, a couple of leftover sliced bell peppers, melted some cheese on the top, a couple of hoagie rolls. Maybe the greatest come home from work lunch I'm gonna have all month. I had just two homemade. Yeah, I forget. I know I've asked this before, but have either of you had steak-em?
No.
I thought they were gone, but then we found them, right?
So you did found I. Them. I found them.
Remember? I thought it was like a TV show thing of they make like a fake. Like a fake product or whatever.
Fake steak.
It's a steak-UMM. Steak-em. Comes in a red and white package. And you may or may not remember that about 3 weeks after, for the first time in my life, I went in with my brother on, you know, you can get like a quarter of a cow. You know, and you get just like a bunch of cow. But they wrap it up and stuff. But, and I had also bought a full brisket from Winco or from Sam's Club. And I found a case of steak-em online for a case of steak-em, 12 packs of 12. I had them all in the freezer. And then we went on vacation, the family did. And that was when I'll just throw her right under the bus. My wife is in charge of like four bills. And she apparently forgot that when you get a red envelope from Smud, that means you really need to pay the bill.
Whoa.
So we come back and all of our power is out and we... It wasn't a power outage. It turns out it was someone didn't. She had disconnected. She had to get a new card because she lost her card, her credit card, the card that we had the Smud on, and she just forgot to put it back into the auto pay. It was a fair mistake. Mm-hmm. But we come back and our Smud shut off. It's like the end of July. It was All Star Week, so it's middle of July, and all the steak-ems, all of them, everything's dead, right? The whole freezer had to be cleared out.
Gross.
So I found some. I had some yesterday. And it's sad that I was thinking about this, but with all the food that we talk about on the show, I think I'm going, there's these little like one burner infrared things you can bring in and just plug in.
You'll bring it in.
I think I'm going to buy one and just, I need to find a place where I can like store a pan here. Because yes, I would like... I think that would be fun to make little cheese steaks for you. And that would be really easy. Just hoagies and onion. We could mix it up in here. I mean, yes, the room would smell foody, that's for sure.
Well, it did with the egg sandwiches.
I feel like I need to do all that and get a can of Lysol. Because that's not fair to the other shows. I wouldn't want to come in here if, you know.
I think we made it through the last time.
We did. We didn't get much complaints, but I want to be it's a shared workspace.
Yeah.
Eventually, though, they should let us have, that's the next step. We should, this studio next door that nobody uses, we should be able to commandeer that for just the morning show.
Someone does use it.
That nobody uses. Who uses it? For the rest of
what
the day.
What do they use it?
They've got
a couple host. Live DJs.
Yeah.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Is there a studio that people don't use here?
No.
No? Well, can we move them somewhere? What are they doing?
Do your show from the mix studio.
Yeah. Whatever. Anyways.
I've got steak-ems to make.
We got steak-ems to make. Or maybe we just make the steak-ems in the other room.
Yeah.
There you go. Again, I apologize for my ADD, but I am avoiding talking about this. Here we go. We'll get into it. Standings, watch. You know, otherwise, Jason, it would have been a pretty good night for the Kings last night.
Could have been, yeah.
Could have been. Who was it? Was it Debbie Gibson that said, could have been so beautiful? Or was it Tiffany? Could have been so right. Could have been my loving every day and night. Could have been so beautiful. Nope.
Oh, okay.
All right. The Kings are now one game behind the Suns. They are a half game ahead of the Lakers, mm-hmm. who were beaten by the Warriors, who are now one game behind the Kings. Now, okay. Just to give you an idea.
Yeah.
The Kings are two games behind the Pelicans. The Kings are effectively eliminated from the sixth
season. Yeah. Again, if you want to dream that, it's here's the scenario. Pelicans lose all three.
Kings win all three.
Yeah.
That's it.
Odds of that are pretty small. Possible, but small.
Kings' remaining games are all at home with the Pelicans. That will be the first game back from the road trip, so I'm feeling good about that one.
Hmm.
Kings generally do well first game back from a road trip, so there's that. Followed by the Suns, followed by the Portland Trail Blazers. So the Kings are effectively eliminated. They would have to go undefeated, and the Pelicans, with one win, would be able to kill off the Kings from getting into the playoffs, at least automatically. So that leaves the Suns, the Lakers, and the Warriors. The Kings are currently one game behind the Suns with a game remaining. Now, the Kings do have the ability to get the tiebreaker from the Suns.
Correct.
With a win, that series would be tied at 2-2. Is that correct?
No.
No, it would be 3-1 Kings.
No, remember they've already 3-2
played. 3-2 Kings.
Yes.
Sorry. Okay, I got it. I knew I was going to get it. Plus, the Kings also have the second tiebreaker as well. So basically, whoever wins that game will have the tiebreaker. So, for example, if the Suns game against the Kings was tonight, all right, and the Kings won, they would effectively be tied with the Suns for the seventh seed on paper, but they would have the tiebreaker. They would own the seventh seed.
Yeah. What I'm hoping for and what probably the Kings are hoping for now is that game on Friday is
winner
for who's going to host the 7-8 game. Yes. Now, that's not finalized.
That's correct.
But that would be an ideal situation now, I think, for the Kings, because I think 6 is pretty much out of the question. And you don't want to fall to 9-10.
No, you certainly don't.
Yeah, and it's still possible.
It is still possible. That hope, or should I say nightmare, is still alive. Now, the Lakers are a half game behind the Kings. The Lakers have only 2 games remaining. They are both on the road. Last night was their final home game. As a matter of fact, they lost their last 2 home games of the season.
Yeah.
To Minnesota and to Golden State last night. They go on the road at Memphis and then at New Orleans. Now, for all we know, that New Orleans game may be meaningless for the Pelicans.
Could be.
Could be. The odds would say that the Lakers would beat Memphis.
Could also be meaningless for the Lakers in a sense.
That's exactly right.
Could be.
But the Lakers are one half game behind the Kings. The Kings do own all tiebreakers.
Yes.
There's no chance for the Lakers. The Lakers would have to finish a game ahead of Sacramento.
Correct.
And then finally, you have the Kings and the Warriors. Now, by my deductions here, which aren't always right, Jason, but the Kings do own the tiebreaker over the Warriors. They are tied at 2-2.
Yeah, then it's conference then it's or conference. Division record, I think.
I thought it was conference.
Is it either one. If it's conference or division, the Kings are better.
The Warriors are 24-25 in conference. The Kings are 29-20,
yes.
Obviously. That's a win. The Warriors are 7-9 in division. The Kings are 10-6. Again,
yeah.
There is the Kings do own the tiebreakers over the Lakers and the Warriors. Nothing will change that. And with a win over Phoenix, they will own that tiebreaker. So the good news is the three teams that are above and below them directly, they've got the tiebreakers, but you got to win some games.
Yeah, the best odds right now are the 7-8 game for the Kings.
That is correct.
Now, that's the best odds. Again, things can change. Last night would have been massive, though. The 6th seed would have been in play still. And, again, mathematically it is, but realistically it's not.
When you look at the Suns, Jason, too, they started out gangbusters on this little gauntlet. They beat the Nuggets. They did lose to the Thunder, but then beat the Pelicans, New Orleans, beat the Cavs, beat the Timberwolves. Now they have lost to both the Pelicans and Clippers. Did I see right? Was it like 38-4 Clippers to start that game?
Yeah, something like that. 35-4 at least, I know. And then they play again tonight.
They play again tonight in L.A., so that's going to that'll be very, very interesting. In fact, by the end of the night, the Kings could do nothing and be just a half game behind
Correct.
The Suns. They finish at Clippers, at Kings, at Timberwolves. They're going to have to earn it.
Yeah.
Heck,
if everything went wrong for them, they could be in the 9-10 game.
That's exactly right. I would, again, nothing is sure with this team. You would like to be able to pencil in a win over Portland and give the Kings at least one win over the next three. I think what it really comes down to, dude, is obviously you got to beat Portland. You got to do that job. And you got to split between the Pelicans and Suns. I'd love to win all three. But I think if you can finish 2-1, that's going to put the Kings at 47-35.
Yeah. And if you're picking and choosing at 2-1, it needs to be the Suns.
That's 100% correct.
So if you win the last two, I think you've guaranteed yourself, you're going to guarantee yourself the 7-8 game, and there's a shot that you're hosting the seven game.
And just again to reiterate how it works, if you're whether you're hosting or not, you're going to play that 7-8 game if that's where you are, whether you're 7 or 8. The only difference between 7 and 8 is whether you're at home or you're on the road. You're going to play that. If you win that game, you are the 7th seed.
Correct.
That's it. If you lose that game, you will then host a one-off between the winner of the 9-10.
Right.
And that team will then become the 8 seed. So assuming the Kings are either 7 or 8 and the Lakers will be 9 or 10, that's how that would play out. If the Kings slip to 9, that means they would host, let's say, the Warriors if they were 10. They would host the Warriors, have to beat them, and then they would have to beat the winner on the road of the Suns and the Lakers.
Yeah.
The only other option would be is if for some reason, and again, the Warriors are a game back of the Kings, but the Warriors have to finish a game ahead of the Kings. So very...
And I think there's a chance that the Warriors went out. They've got the Blazers, the Pelicans. That'll be a tough one. The Blazers, the Pelicans, and the Jazz. So they have two of their three games on against teams below 500.
And am I right? Would the Kings have to go 0-3 or 1-2, I guess? Yeah, they 1-2. 1-2 would do. If the Kings went 1-2 and the Warriors went out, they pass.
Yes. And, I mean, now, and think about that scenario. I was telling people yesterday where you go, well, even if the Warriors went out, Kings would just have to win two. I'm like, two's not in the bag.
It's not in the bag at all. And not for nothing, but the Warriors have won 8 of their last 9.
Exactly.
They are getting hot at the exact right
time. Hottest team since late January. Only the Celtics are better.
That's right. So there's a lot.
That's why last night was even a mixed bag. I know they could have fallen to 9th if the Lakers had won, but I think you would have ended the conversation with the Warriors if the Lakers had won.
I agree with you.
But now both teams are still in play.
I don't like any of it.
Yeah. The Kings have done this, and they've done it all year. But really, this road trip was an absolute killer. I know we'll talk about that more coming up, but man.
Yeah, and at 7:43, we're going to talk about the mindset of the fan base right now and where it is this season. And ran a poll last night. I think you'll find the results quite interesting on how people feel. And now, of course, Jason, let's acknowledge, if you want a true reading on something, you should always ask a question directly after a heart-wrenching loss when everybody is thinking. You know,
on social media.
On social media, exactly.
I can only guess what
So this will 100% be correct.
Okay.
We'll take a break. Just a 1 minute break, everybody. When we come back, 3 for madness. The Kings went 1-3 on this road trip, but it's actually even worse than you think. Domas' double-double streak comes to an end. And what will the Kings' record be at the end of the season with 3 left? We'll get into all that in just 1 minute.
3 questions, 3 answers. It's 3 for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question 1.
Three for Madness brought to you by Firewinds. I just wish we could bring everything on the air that we talk about. Garrett Johnson will join us. He runs the Beyond the Clubhouse podcast. He is our golf correspondent. Every year, once a year, when we talk Masters, which begins tomorrow.
Just ask him right off the top. Garrett, how do I get in as a media member next year?
Let's do that. You know what? I think that's important. That's an important question. And you know, and if he needs an answer off the air, we can do that too.
Yeah.
I think I should tell Garrett that in order for him to come back next year, he needs to help get us a press credential. Oh, I thought you were going to say something, Chris. Sorry. 3 for Madness. Question 1, Chris for Lund.
The Kings went 1-3 and blew 2 20-point leads in their losses. Why?
So,
why?
They had 3 losses. In last night's, who did they start out with? Why am I
the blowing? Knicks?
Knicks, thank you. Knicks. They blew 20-point leads.
Yeah, 2 of them.
And the other loss
had the lead with what?
They had the lead with 8 seconds left. And they technically had the lead with 8 seconds left and possession of the ball.
That's true.
And they lost.
Yeah.
So the Kings have mastered the art this year of grabbing a loss from the jaws of victory.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. I always want to be able to say the same thing that I would say if, like, the whole Kings team was standing against the wall right here. Like, I don't want to, I never want to be the guy that hides behind the mic or, you know, pounces on social media, but wouldn't say that to if somebody was in the room. It's never personal. I think the personalities on this team are almost, if not completely, entirely incredibly likable, good people. I don't think they're not trying. I don't think that they don't care. I don't think that they are necessarily soft. I think it would be the equivalent if I yelled and screamed at my son because he wasn't dunking the basketball. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, my son isn't even 6 feet tall yet. And no matter how much he practices or how hard he tries, it's not going to happen. Now, I can acknowledge Munkenherder being out being an issue.
Yeah.
But guess what? You were able to build 20-point leads against two of those teams. Correct. You were able to come back against the best home team and the best team in the NBA and the Celtics and take the lead. So obviously something works there. I think Mike Brown has had a very, very tough year compared to last year. I think his adjustments and his rotations at times have been not great. I think Harrison Barnes is struggling on top, and you can't do that with Herter and Monk out. And I just don't think it's the right personnel. I think that's just who this team is. I think it is largely mental. I think it is largely psychological because we've seen this team at its best be able to beat any team in the NBA. I think they have it. But in the offseason, all eyes go to Monty McNair. Of course, I don't want him to force anything, Jason, and mortgage our future. But you can't stand pat this summer, dude. You can't do it. I get why he did. It wasn't the right move, at least short term.
Yeah.
Adjust the culture
right.
a little.
Yeah, some tweaks here, because if you don't, it'll be more of the same, right? And you said it well. Like, they've done... In this stretch, in this whole season, shown some abilities to be very good.
Very good.
Shown some abilities to give up all that equity, right? They've done that too many times. They just did it on this road trip. They just did it last night.
Yes.
So it's really frustrating in that sense. I think it's clear that the roster isn't good enough to be a championship team.
That's right.
Now, this is a good team. Could be a playoff team. Actually, there's still a chance they don't even make the postseason this year because the West is that much better.
There's also a chance they win the championship.
There is, I guess. Yeah, actually.
I have to say it. Right. Yeah, exactly.
So, not betting on that?
No. No.
But it's just such a weird season in that sense that, you know, when they're 20 points up on the Thunder, I'm not thinking they're 20 points better than the Thunder, but I'm thinking they're playing really well. And when there was a halftime, so it's 19 points, I'm thinking – this is a game now you need to win. I went in thinking they were not going to win last night. That was my pre-show thought. Like, this would be nice if they won. Once you play like that, shot like that, and are up 19, that needs to turn into a win, even if it's by one. And it did not.
I think it's a little bit of the disease. Like, if Bonneville, our company, had, like, an all-expenses-paid trip to the Masters, and everybody got to enter, and then it came down to you and one other person in, let's say, Washington, and they did a drawing, and the other person won, you had absolutely no expectations of winning that thing. But in the process of being it, narrowed down to two people.
Then you had hope.
You had hope, and you dreamt about going, and you allowed yourself to believe in it. And that's another lesson for you kids. It's the hope that will kill you.
Hmm. Wow, that was a really good analogy.
Don't ever hope for anything good, and you'll never be disappointed.
Yeah.
Cut number two, please.
Question two.
Sounds like you're disappointed.
Sabonis's double-double streak came to an end last night.
Yeah.
Where does that rank in all-time Kings accomplishments?
God, I made the mistake. I even knew how the fan base would react. I made the mistake last night with like 3 minutes left. I was like, and the first line was even, I know we have bigger problems. That was the first line. I said, but we're also officially on double-double streak watch here with 8 points for Domantas Sabonis. Like 90 straight. We don't care. We got bigger fish to fry. I'd rather have the win. I know. I'm just pointing out that a record-setting streak is maybe also going to end. In a way, I'm kind of glad it's over because, like, I hope it wasn't like extra pressure on him. Like, okay, start a new one now. As far as accomplishments, is that like the best?
Well, what would be better?
I can't think of anything.
Yeah,
I feel like that's it.
Yeah, on a day that I actually thought Sabonis was not good at all. To his credit, where I'll say this: the very last play of the game, he basically had a layup.
Yes, he did.
And he passed it out for three, which is kind of the theme of the night. But you're going, like, he's trying to win the game. I mean, they weren't going to win the game. He throws it out to the corner to Davion. If there's any hope, they got to hit a three. Sabonis could have laid it in, and by definition, we're going, well, the streak's still alive. But they do have bigger fish to fry.
But greatest individual accomplishment.
Well, I don't know what would be history.
I don't know either. If somebody has an idea, I want
especially the longevity of it.
9-12-11-40. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Number three, please.
Question three.
Three games left. What will the Kings' record be to finish the year?
All right. The Kings are currently... Well, that's not them. I was going to say that's not right. The Kings' record currently with three games left. By the way, they're all home games. The Kings are 45-34. I'm really, really... Like, my head tells me they'll be 46-36. They'll go 1-2. They'll beat Portland. They'll lose the two home games. That's what my head tells me. I feel like they're going to split. Well, here's what's probably going to happen. They're probably going to beat New Orleans and Phoenix and lose to Portland. But, I'm going to give them 2-1. I think they'll finish 47-35.
Okay, I'm going to test something out here.
Okay.
0-3. Am I doing this right?
0-3. Oh, you're saying you think they're going to be 0-3?
I don't know. I don't even know. This is
that's
weird
a
for
reverse
me.
Jinx. Yes. No, you should guarantee it. You have no hope in this team whatsoever, and you guarantee they'll be 0-3. I mean, yes,
I can't even do that.
We're talking about it, so it kind of takes the luster.
Unfortunately, you're canceling out the reverse.
We're acknowledging.
I need to take the class. When's the class?
The class is
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
It will be Tuesdays and Thursdays on the 5th and 8th of Never, and we will go over everything.
When is Chris holding office hours?
What is Chris holding office hours for?
He's the TA.
Oh.
What's great, I think, is because Jason asked me, he's like, you're a Jinx guy? I'm like, no, but I understand it.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Like, okay, let's pretend we didn't acknowledge it. If you'd have come out and been like, I guarantee.
You're like, look at how terribly they've been playing.
Yeah.
This team doesn't want to win. They're going to go 0-3.
And you have to speak in absolutes. They're going to go 0-3.
And I jinxed it or reverse jinxed?
Reverse jinx is if you're trying to put it out there in the ether to get the opposite result of what you're saying, which is the good result.
But if I came on and said the other way, like, I guarantee perfect.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm going home. I'm done for the day because Jason just jinxed the team. If you're like, dude, I'm telling you right now, they're going 3-0. And then you threw in some of that Pete Youngman crap where you're like, you got to believe. You got to put it out there. You got to believe. You got to stay positive. Well, then they're definitely not winning three.
You'd be a heck of a coach.
Yes. Guys, this is a really good team we're playing. We're most certainly going to get...
Don't try.
No. I would say we're almost certainly going to get our asses kicked. It doesn't look good out there. But at least if we do get our asses kicked, it's exactly what we expected. So let's go see if
ready break.
Yes,
go.
And then that's where one of my kids at some point during the game goes, Coach, I touched the ball. It was out of bounds on me. Remember the commercial where they're playing and the ball goes off one of the kids.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The
yeah,
ref
yeah.
makes the wrong call. And he's all coach, and then the coach kind of goes, ugh. And then at the end of the commercial he goes, hey, good. What is it? Good play. Great play, kid, or something like that. But what they didn't show in that commercial is after the game when they lost, the entire locker room beat the hell out of that kid.
And he's just running laps.
And the coach.
And the coach. They all did the thing in Full Metal Jacket with the soap. They just tied him down and just, that's what you get for being honest.
I saw that commercial. The second one.
Cheaters always prosper. All right. But by the way, what's your prediction?
Oh, do I have to do a real one? Now I'm afraid of any kind of number.
Yeah, this is your real one with no jinxing involved.
2-1.
So we agree?
Yeah.
2-1. All right, so there's no chance they're going 2-1 now. No, because we agreed, you and I together. They're either going to be 1-2 or 3-0. See, it's stress. Now you know why I'm crazy.
Or there's another possibility.
What?
Of going 0-3.
Do you guarantee that's going to happen?
Yeah.
Reverse?
Because of what you guys said. That's right. They're going 0-3.
When we come back, we'll go around the league. Scary moment for Giannis Antetokounmpo yesterday. Very scary moment. Also, If you're wondering whether or not the refs have kind of changed their tune, we've kind of got proof for you when it comes to calling or not calling fouls.
In one game, at least.
We also have a little bit of documentation there, too. Also, Billy Donovan on whether or not he's going to Kentucky. We'll do all that next.
Up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. One.
On Sacktown Sports.
It's Debbie Gibson, right? Was that right?
Tiffany.
Oh, I didn't. Damn it.
Just one little tear rolling down.
You remember the song, though, now?
No, I do. Yeah. Banger.
Total banger. And then there's Tiffany and Debbie Gibson. And then there was that one girl who had the, Christ, I hate this song. It's going to be in my head all day.
I'm going to get it.
Huh?
I'm going to get it.
Oh, you're going to get it in a millisecond.
No, the singer?
Oh, are you? Oh, my Let's God.
See. Let me see.
I don't.
It's 80s?
I don't. I think it's 90. Okay, it is 90. We'll I don't think so.
All right, describe.
I'm just going to sing one line for me.
All right.
And you're going to know it. I love you.
Yeah.
Always forever. Near closer together. Free bird. I will be with you every day. It's like, it's not Donna Summer, but
no.
it's not.
Donna Lewis.
Is it Donna Lewis?
I think.
I think you're right. I actually think you're right.
You helped me, though.
That's fine. That was a team effort. I think you're right. I think it is Donna Lewis. I just remember she did it, like, she came in one of the episodes of Beverly Hills 90210. She was singing it at the
oh,
Peach
really?
Pit or something. Yeah. She sang it in one of the episodes there. And
was Nat working?
It was incredibly lip-synced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Donna Lewis.
Ah! No relation to Emmanuel.
Do you know that?
I don't know that at all. What I do know is that if you saw any clips of this, there was a good hour or so where the NBA collectively held its breath because Giannis Antetokounmpo was just meandering down the floor and all of a sudden went and grabbed his lower leg and went down. He had to be helped off. And
the dreaded non-contact. You're like,
no contact whatsoever. And all of us, I think most of us at least, were thinking the same thing. Did he just snap his Achilles? Did he just, even DeMarcus weighed in on Twitter. And he doesn't really tweet that much saying, you know, something the effect of like, it sounds like it's a lower leg strain. Thank God the Achilles is okay. And obviously DeMarcus went through that. And that pretty much helped bring his career to the downslide when that happened to him in New Orleans in the middle of a really, really good run with Anthony Davis. So it turns out after an MRI that he avoided a serious Achilles injury. His left Achilles tendon is fully intact, but it is a left calf strain, whatever the hell that means. Mm. So thank goodness, though. You never want to see that. Jason, last night some records were set in the NBA, mainly in the Celtics-Bucks game that Giannis got hurt in. 104-91 the final. The Bucks, who have not been doing well lately, are able to get a big win over the Boston Celtics. And the Boston Celtics last night, not surprisingly, they're a very good shooting team. They did not miss a free throw.
They didn't, which all credit to them. Concentrating all night.
Concentrating all night, super focused. The problem is they didn't shoot a free throw.
Yeah.
The first half?
Correct. They did not shoot a free throw in the first half. However, in the second half, they shot also no free throws.
Wow.
Not a single free throw. Meanwhile, Milwaukee.
I bet it was really lopsided, though.
Dude, this is how do you if you're the Celtics coach? It's not Joe Pompliano. What's his name? Joe Lizzuto.
What is it?
Damn it! It's Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Joe Pompliano.
That's a guy on Twitter. I had to get there. Shut up, everybody. Chris is laughing.
I thought it was a guy on Sopranos.
the Bucks. Basically, it was like a constant parade to the line for them. The good news is they shot 50% from the line.
That's good news?
That is a terrible, terrible.
I mean, when you shoot a high volume, 50% is not very good.
Giannis Antetokounmpo also, think about this. Talk about star treatment. Giannis shot every single Milwaukee Bucks free throw last night.
That's just not cool.
He was one of two.
Yeah.
They combined for two free throws.
The old record was 11. So they shatter it. And Giannis currently, I know he left, but that was in the third quarter. He's by far the league leader in free throws.
Yes.
So in a game that has Giannis in it and the number one offense of the Celtics had two free throws.
And you talk about two teams that play a little defense. Like, and two teams that, you know, look, everyone shoots 100,000 threes these days, but it's not like they're afraid of the paint either.
Okay, so I'm not claiming there's something up, but if there was if our guy Jason Hare said, look, I'm going to do a 30 for 30 on this, three officials, four-quarter game, I think there were 12 total fouls, one shooting foul. That's it? Nothing?
Yeah, who are they? Who are these people? De'Aaron Fox when it comes to getting calls?
I mean, this is a rare case of, like, you know, TV talk or whatever. It was a nationally televised game. A lot of times, like, Kings will be on national TV tomorrow. Second game of a doubleheader, it's like, hey, will there be a slide because the first game's taking too long? That game was over, and TNT filled. They went to coverage of another game before the Lakers. They had, like, 25 minutes to spare, and a lot of times the second game you get interrupted. You don't even see the tip-off for the first 5 minutes of the quarter. That game was done so fast.
It is weird. That was like a Greg Maddux pitching of NBA games.
Yeah.
Like just done, over, quick.
So on the same night.
On the same night.
You've got two free throws total in that game. Mm-hmm. SGA gets 20?
16 of 20 last night. SGA was 16 of 20. De'Aaron Fox finally got to the line in the fourth quarter. Ends up going 2 of 4 from the line. Oklahoma City might have been doing him a favor. But, yeah, SGA himself gets 20. And you want to talk about the new and improved free throw merchant in the NBA. SGA is quickly getting that.
And he doesn't need it, too, because he's awesome.
He really, really is. I will take you back less than a month ago, Jason. In a meeting with the NBA's competition committee, the league office outlined an increased officiating focus on offensive players hunting out fouls and veering off pathways to the basket into defenders and how these points of emphasis have impacted a decrease in league scoring. These officiating focuses, okay, are believed to have contributed to this recent decline in scoring. In the memo, the league describes itself as continuing to, quote, evaluate the state of offensive versus defensive balance with a focus on legal guarding position and level of contact on pathway plays to the basket. Despite a 4 point per team decline in scoring and a 1.9 decrease per game in fouls called, league officials told members of the committee that, quote, there was no directive from the league office to reduce scoring. However, the league has noted this trend will continue to be monitored. Slower pace, style of play, competitive intensity, officiating focus have all been contributing factors identified thus far. Future evaluation at future committee meetings will determine whether rule and or interpretation changes should be considered next season. Hmm. Now, Jason, there's not a thing in that memo I don't like. I love it. Yes, you mean reduce flopping, reduce foul merchants like Harden and Gilgeous-Alexander and Luka from the whole pump fake, initiate contact, referees maybe loosening the whistle a little bit. I'm actually, as a basketball fan, all for all of those changes. You're going to do it in March?
Right.
What are you doing? Dude, what are you doing?
That's an off-season thing.
It's 100%. You run through the off-season. You get input from everybody. You go through the competition committee. You vote on this stuff.
Let the teams know. Then all of a sudden it's like, hey, I might get the more physical, intense, clutch grab defender because, look, it's not going to hurt me.
No. And
you could build your team that way.
There's a way you do things. You build the team or don't build. You adjust.
Or coach the team.
You have the referees who do this every year. They then come out to your preseason. They sit with you in your locker room, your meetings, your whatever. They have every team has a ref come out and basically say, okay, these are the new points of emphasis. And they take questions and blah, 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 blah. And then you go through the preseason where it's all laid out. And that's where you begin to you adjust to it. And then the season kicks off. And the first couple weeks, there's 900 fouls called, or in this case, I guess, no fouls called. Everyone's bitching about, I didn't get this call, or, the free throw merchants are getting landed on, and it's not getting called. And the refs are like, guys, you don't do that a month before the season ends?
Right.
What the hell is that all about? I mean, come on. And Jason, do you and I agree on this? That you don't do it during the regular
season? Yeah, it's weird. You shouldn't do that in the regular season. During the season, excuse me.
Do you feel like we're in the minority?
I don't know. I mean, maybe some... I didn't have as much of an issue as the scores being high.
I agree.
With the premise, just start it next year.
Yeah, and I'm saying...
Or before this year it started.
I don't think we're in the minority when we have the opinion of you don't do this during the regular season.
Right.
I think we're in the vast majority. How is it that in the NBA league offices where these guys do this for a living, in many cases it's ex-players that are involved, how is this not part of it? How is this allowed?
Right.
It's a very obvious logical point we're making here. And now we're going to go into the playoffs. What the hell is going to happen? And by the way, last point, it's not just that they're adjusting it, but as you pointed out, not everybody's adjusting it.
Yes.
It's inconsistent across the board. Are we going to get the ref crew that was there for the Knicks Kings at Golden 1 Center?
Yeah.
Or are we going to get the ref crew that we got last night? Is this guy going to go to the line 20 times, or is it play on, baby? And so the coaches have to adjust based on what the refs feel like they're doing, what they had for dinner?
All right,
take a break. When we come back, how frustrating was last night's game for our fan base? We have some numbers for you. I asked a question last night. I got an answer. There were a lot of votes. Are you ready for this season to be over? We'll discuss that next.
In the morning to get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
A good looking practice swing.
He only needs to swing about 120 miles an hour. That's a good speed for him.
The Masters Par 3 contest starts in a little over an hour. Garrett Johnston, host of the Beyond the Clubhouse podcast, our friend, will join us to preview the Masters. That was, if you didn't recognize it.
A few years back, right?
It was a few years back. That is honestly, it had nothing to do with the tournament. One of the greatest moments you'll ever see. The Par 3 contest, it's a family affair. You got little kids out there. Grandkids in this case. That was Jack Nicklaus's grandson who just swung a wedge beautifully, 120 yard par 3, and if you watched it and you listen, you hear Gary Player, who was also on the tee with Jack and Tom Watson, you hear Gary Player say, oh, you right after he hits it, he goes, oh, you're gonna love it, you're gonna absolutely love this. And then the ball just comes right back, goes in the hole. And Jack Nicklaus went on to say it was the greatest moment of his life.
That's so cool.
Greater than any of his
anything he's ever done.
Watching his, and you could see, like, he was almost in tears.
Yeah.
Just what a moment. That starts at noon. I think one of the ESPNs has it today. But always, if you're a golf person, always a fun thing to watch and kind of primes you up for
For sure
the tournament tomorrow.
That's something I can never understand with just like the swing. Like, oh,
oh, this is going to be right next to it. Like, how do you
how do you know, right?
How do you know?
I would trust Gary Player.
I would 100% trust Gary Player, who's 80-something and still is in amazing shape. And we'll, you know, look, we fully understand not everybody's into golf. We will peek in and out of coverage for those who are tomorrow. And Friday as well.
And we will have your Nature Wood updates.
Nature Wood! They're back! Love it. Nature Wood. Nope, that's not the jingle.
You were doing Nationwide. Nationwood.
Nature Wood is on your side. That works.
Yeah. So I'm sure they are.
I guarantee you they are. All right, so the best time, as we talked about, Jason, to get the pulse of the fan base is to ask questions directly after heart-wrenching losses.
I don't know what you asked and what the question is.
Well, Jason, I've said this before, and again, sorry to the audience that listens all day that you know, I'm not trying to be repetitive, but the honest truth is the average person listens for 7 to 10 minutes or whatever the hell it is. So let me just say again, I like this team personally. I have nothing personally against them, but I have said it many times this season as it has progressed. This is the most likable yet dislikable Kings team I've ever witnessed in all the years in Sacramento, because I feel like they underachieve. I've never been more frustrated. Now, I've been angry, I've been sad, I've been depressed. I've never been more frustrated at a Kings team than I have this year. The amount of leads they've given up, the amount of terrible losses they've had, because I think they're so much better. And I came to a realization while watching the game last night that, and we talked about it, start the show, Jason. I'm just being brutally honest. If I didn't contractually have to watch the games because I have to talk about them and analyze them with you every day, I would have turned off yesterday's game early in the third quarter, right when I, in my mind, knew they were going to lose. And that wouldn't have been the first time this year. And I found myself thinking, you know what? Not from a radio standpoint, not from a content standpoint, not from a business standpoint, from a personal standpoint, I just want the season. I just want the season to end.
Wow. I couldn't disagree more.
And I respect that. Yeah. I respect that. That's just different personalities. And I admit fully, you're the one that's more right. And I know right and wrong isn't the thing, but I'm saying I'm the unstable weirdo in this, and you're the normal person is
so,
what I'm saying.
So next week, if they fall to 9-10, they lose a week from today, and it ends. So next Thursday, you're good? You're like, good. It's over.
I'm
so glad this is done.
I'm still pissed off, but I will be honest, there is a part of me that's like, good riddance. Now let's get to reshaping this team and everybody get to work, because I don't ever want to see this team. I don't ever want to see this team again. Wow. I don't ever want to see it in this form. I do
which
not.
Which you won't.
Which we won't.
Yeah.
And I want to get to it. And the only, I guess, I mean, and this is a good
thing. You want to get to it so you can be mad about the next group?
Maybe. Yeah. Or I can be, okay, this is what we're talking about. And I'm not talking about trading Fox and trade. Like, I want it for them. I want it for them, but I want it for the fans more. So I decided to ask. And I said, is anyone else weirdly just wanting this season to end? Because I acknowledge that's weird. Does anybody else just weirdly want this season to end like me?
So is that a yes, no?
Yes, no. Over 2,000 people have responded. It's a pretty big response.
Can I guess on the percentage? Please. So word the question again.
Does anyone else weirdly just want this season to end?
And it's yes or no.
And it's yes or no. Yes, I want it to end. No, I do not.
Bet on social media, yes was 74%.
Chris Orlon.
I'm going to say.
Oh, that might be high.
65%.
Yeah.
You want to readjust? You can't.
And this was right after the game.
Right after the game.
No, you know, I'll leave it. 74.
74, you said 65?
Like, yeah.
86% of Kings fans.
You know what? Screw you guys.
86% of over 2,000 Kings fans responding. Some of
I didn't get my vote in. I'd have made it still 14% with that many people. No, 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 no.
Rob says 100% yes. C-Jaws 22, the least weird post I've ever seen you make. This is a lost season, has been for a while.
Lost season.
Every chance in the world to save it and constant fails in the second half. This game had Nick's game written all over it.
I want every one of these handles for if the Kings make a run and they somehow go like make it through the play-in and then make it through a series.
Yes.
They cannot enjoy any single one of those games.
Well, I'm one of those people that wants it to end. And I'll tell you right now. Do you know the situation
You cannot go to the parade.
This is what I want. I want my timeline filled with all the people that are out there like, be positive. I want my timeline filled with them gathering every receipt on every tweet I've ever had. I want them I'm asking for it. I want to be so abused on social media. I want the abuse. I want the Kings to go to the Western Conference Finals, and every single time I tweet something about the game, and every time I come on here and talk about it, the text line and the YouTube and my Twitter handle is filled with people saying, you wanted the season to end, yeah. You stupid idiot.
You don't
moron.
Like this team.
You don't I thought you didn't like. I want that so badly because I'm not a narrative fan. I am a Kings fan. I so badly want to be wrong. I wanted to be wrong last night when I thought they were going to lose as soon as they were up two in the third. They were still up two. And I knew they were going to lose. And I was like, please just be wrong for once. Just not for once. I mean, I've been wrong. Be wrong about this team. I want to.
And would you have been wrong about the team if they won yesterday?
I would have been
just wrong about them last
yes,
night.
Yes, I would have been wrong about them last
night.
Because
these other things are still true.
Yeah. Here's one. Last season was hard, but this season's really depressing. Some strange decisions at the start of the season, letting some players go. Then the big one, bringing in a coach that killed our season. That was one of my soccer followers. So I was talking about Huddersfield Town. They want their season to be over, too.
What it was a miserable lot.
It was a soccer take. Just a season full of disappointment, says T. Running it back was a bad idea. Mike Brown has been routinely outcoached. Because of our expectations, not much to be proud of. Justin says, this team has no fight. This team is weaker without Malik. Fox takes pointless shots. Sabonis is soft when the game matters. Keegan and Barnes are nowhere to be found. You can't put that type of pressure on Keegan Ellis. Keon Ellis. Domas gets buckets, says, can't wait for this team to stop ruining my day. And on and on. Wow.
Why
and
are
on.
You guys fans? And I'm not saying it has to be positive. There's a difference, though.
Can I know we got a break. I'm going to tell you why. It's a very valid, important question you just asked. I want everybody out there who's ever had a family member with a terrible addiction to listen to me, because that's what this is. No matter what happens with this team, they are a family. And no matter if they are falling back off the wagon again, if they're getting arrested for the third time, if they're showing up at your house with no pants on and holding a double fist in Miller High Life at 3 a.m. and scaring your kids, you may dislike them. You may even hate them sometimes, but you always love them. And you're always, 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 even though everything in your body tells you differently, you're always going to do what you can to support them because you want to be there for the day when they finally beat the demons. That's why I'm a Kings fan. Also, I get paid to do this. Because if I didn't, I can't tell you I'd have the same. I don't know. But the Kings are as much a part of my family as the Kings are probably more a part of my family than my wife. I've certainly been in a relationship with them longer. I can't put them ahead of my children. I have two French Bulldogs, one puppy. I love them. Gus the Bus and Gracie. Would I trade one of them for a Kings championship? What box do I stuff them in and put the FedEx label on?
The Kings or the dog?
The dog.
Oh.
Love you, Gus. Be good to a different family. I'm going to a parade. It's a labor of love, and And love, and the, there's a fine line, a thin line between love and hate. I think that was a movie.
Yeah, and a song.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll give away a $100 gift certificate to Jiffy Lube for the Jiffy Lube Drive of the Game at 1-800-920-1140. 1-800-920-1140. Call now for the Jiffy Lube Drive of the Game. Garrett Johnston joins us next. Doc Masters right after this.